Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Welcome back to a special edition of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. Here with the whole crew, we got QB1. What's going on, my man?
You know, got that 1-0 feeling, so I'm good right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And everyone's favorite wide receiver. Okay, maybe everyone's favorite wide receiver not named Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen. What's going on, Miles?
You know, just enjoying that great game. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen did their thing. I said 200 yards on Twitter earlier, but that was a little of exaggeration. But I said Diggs would have 2 touchdowns.
Where did he catch those touchdowns, by the way? Were those red zone? We'll get to that anyway.
I guess technically inside the 18-yard one is technically a red zone touchdown.
Yeah, those red zone touchdowns. Okay, sexy. Technicalities. Sexy Prince, what's going on, man? Oh, man, did we lose him already? Yinka's actually driving around the Twin Cities right now doing his other job. So was looking at a frozen Prince face right now as we record. So at some point he'll realize that that we can't hear him and we'll log back in. So we'll just get right into it. 1-0 feels good. Vikings offense, which is the thing most of us were concerned about going into the season, looked outstanding. Sam Bradford, after a bit of a rocky start, did what we all wanted to see him do, took chances downfield, looked a little bit better maneuvering in the pocket. Dalvin Cook, I mean, you just had that feeling all game that the next one was going to be the one that he broke off for a long run. And at the end of the day, he set the Vikings record for a rookie in their opening game. So, JR, we'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on the game? What is what are your big takeaways after that very impressive all-around performance from the Minnesota Vikings?
You know, I was extremely happy, first of all, with Sam Bradford. I thought he was phenomenal. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, but I thought as the game went on, he just got more comfortable, and he realized that, okay, the offensive line is going to give me some time today, so I can take some shots down the field, and that's exactly what we saw with Diggs and Thielen. But outside of Sam Bradford and, you know, Dalvin Cook played a really good game as well, and like you mentioned earlier, it just seemed like he was just one tackle away from breaking one every single time, and as the game went on, he started breaking those longer runs. But I want to give Riley Reiff some love. He was outstanding tonight. PFF already put up, you know, some of his stats breakdowns. He had 35 pass blocking snaps, didn't allow a single pressure or a hurry at all tonight, which is phenomenal. And, you know, protecting Sam Bradford's blind side is something that, you know, was a big question mark coming into the year. You know, Riley Reiff transitioning back to the left side after playing the right side last year for the Lions. On the defensive side of the ball, I thought they were phenomenal. I thought Eric Kendricks played an outstanding game. Linval Joseph played really good, and Everson Griffin was another guy that stood out. And, you know, stopping the number 2 ranked offense last year and holding them, basically, I'm going to say they shut them out from a touchdown because, it was down the stretch and it kind of was garbage points at that point. But I thought they played phenomenal holding those guys to 19 points. So, overall, I'm definitely pleased.
And Miles, what about you? I know you saying you were having some ongoing conversations with some of your boys while the game was going on or after the game. What were your thoughts on everything that you saw out there, and what are your big takeaways?
Yeah, I think JR hit everything on the head. The first quarter, you know, you thought, you know, after what we saw in the preseason, you know, worried me a little bit. You're thinking like, oh man, is this kind of the vanilla offense we saw in the preseason? I hope this doesn't continue. And then that second quarter started, and you're like, wow, he hit. Was it Adam Thielen on the big strike for the first long gain, I think it was. And it just jump-started. What did they have, 3-play, 75-yard touchdown drive? I mean, I don't think we've seen them do that in a few years now. So that was really exciting to get that going and getting the offense going, getting both, you know, Diggs and Thielen in the mix and getting them, you know, downfield is really exciting because that's what you want to see. Because both of those guys can do that. So seeing them do that was great. Seeing him opening up a little bit, especially on third down, was really exciting for me to see. Watching him throw and hit some of those third and longs was great. That really kept drives going. Like JR said, I think the defense played great. Eric Kendricks played out of his mind. That first half especially, that man was all over the place. I was waiting for him he was trying to get one of those strip sacks too on one of those guys. I thought he was going to get one, but came real close. thought everything else played good. Everyone else played well. I thought a little bit, you know, that when Xavier Rhodes went out, nobody, you know, at first we didn't understand why, and then you find out it was a it was cramps. So that's good. Good to hear. It wasn't any injury, no injuries or anything like that. But got a little worried when he went out because, you know, I think Trey Wayne struggled a little bit, and, you know, I don't want to get too negative because this is a this was a big win. So I thought most of the game he played fairly decent, stayed disciplined, but you know, a couple blunders here and there. Hopefully he can correct that going into Pittsburgh next week. But overall, really great game. Thought Everson Griffin, like you said, played really well. JR. Danielle Hunter was on the cusp a couple times there too, and was waiting for him to get home, but he just didn't quite get there because I know Drew Brees is pretty good about getting the ball out. And Prince is back.
It looks like we have the man back. What's going on, Saxon?
Yo, my bad, y'all. I couldn't get back into the chat, so yeah, what's going on?
Just looking for your takes, man. How from your vantage point in the stadium, what were your big takeaways? What was it that how are you feeling after the game? Just give us your synopsis, takeaways, anything that you wanted to highlight from watching the game.
Yeah, I kind of had two vantage points. My buddy rolled in, so he got me lower seats. I was actually in the nosebleeds for a good portion of it. But for the start of the game, I was a little bit worried, both with the run game and the pass game. Sam wasn't seeing the field the way that I was kind of hoping he would. Receivers were getting open, and I think that's what you started to see. You start to progress towards the, you know, end of second quarter and second half and stuff. So Sam played absolutely phenomenal. The way that you know, my expectations is that he should have played that well. So he met my expectations. But it is against one of the worst secondaries in the league. So not to take anything away from Sam, he did ball. So I'm glad he did that. Dalvin Cook played very, very well. I think there was a lot of yards that he was able to kind of create by himself. There wasn't a lot of push that I was seeing from the offensive line at times, and Dalvin was able to get those empty yards. So, you know, that's typically the expectation for, you know, some of the top backs, but he played very well. The tweet never went through, but I was trying to say continue to get Dalvin Cook on the edge, because if you remember him at Florida State, He did very well once you got him to the edge or around the corner. So, yeah, those are my big takeaways. Sam played really well. Dalvin played really well. Offensive line, Pat Elflein played really well. There was one swing pass, I think it was to Jerick McKinnon, that Elflein was, you know, already in the secondary. So, yeah, those are my big takeaways. Those guys really shine in my opinion.
I had one more thing too. Sorry, Jason, real quick. One thing that kind of surprised me that I didn't expect going into this regular season was, I think Latavius Murray got what, five snaps all game, and this first one was a fumble. So that one kind of surprised me a little bit. I don't know if you guys wanted to touch on that at all. I was a little surprised, especially early on. I can understand after the after he fumbled, kind of not letting him get back in the game for a while, but he didn't see the field until what, the second half?
Yeah, third quarter. First, I mean, series of the third quarter.
And it's, I mean, JR called it during the offseason. It's something that, I mean, I think we all at various points have kind of joked around about. Like, I don't know that Latavius Murray is really that good. And just with the way that Dalvin has come on, I mean, I just don't see him really having a role for this team. Like, we jokingly call him Expensiata, but I mean, where does he add value over a Dalvin or a Jerick outside of maybe trying to pick up, you know, some short yardage work or maybe on the goal line or something like that? Like, the situations that we were in really didn't merit taking either of those other guys out to put Latavius in, because in the middle of the field or between the 20s, I mean, I feel like Cook and Jerick add just so much more to what your offense can do than, you know, a Latavius Murray. And then him going in there and fumbling, I guess when we initially brought him in, my thought was that maybe we'd bring him in once we got a lead, we'd use him to kind of grind the clock like the Pats used LeGarrette Blount. But I mean, you fumble the first time you touch the ball, team's probably not going to trust you to do that either. So yeah, JR, I guess you were the one who came out most forcefully kind of saying that, you know, Cook was going to take this job and, you know, Latavius Murray wasn't long for Minnesota. So I guess what were your thoughts on how the usage went in the backfield this game?
Yeah, you know, moving to this new zone scheme, I thought it was just a matter of time. because Latavius isn't really a zone scheme back. He's more of a power scheme back, in my opinion, just because he doesn't move well laterally or sideline to sideline. He's more of a downhill back. And what you see with Dalvin is, you know, the play he thrives off the most or he makes his money on is outside zone. And we've seen that today, just getting him to the edge and him just showing his acceleration. That's what really separates the two, in my opinion. I think the thing that's really killed Latavius Murray to this point is Dalvin's improvement in pass protection. He was awesome in pass protection tonight, and that was one of his biggest knocks pre-drafting. Him showing that type of improvement, and that was one of the things that Latavius did have over him coming into training camp, was Latavius's ability, you know, or reliability in pass protection. And now Dalvin is showing this improvement in technique in pass protection to this point. So, you know, that's another thing that Dalvin has going over Latavius right now.
If I can jump in with to that point, that I think Latavius not being able to do as much that, you know, that you're seeing Dalvin Cook can do as well as Jerick McKinnon. I think it does speak good for Jerick McKinnon, you know, maybe getting an extension in the future, because, you know, you're really getting to see Dalvin and be able to work kind of tandem, and you really just see more of those explosive plays, the more the motions that you can do with them, having them both on the field at the same time. Maybe it bolts towards like not keeping Latavius next year. I know it's only game one, but I've always been in the court of keeping Jerick McKinnon around in Minnesota. So I think seeing those two together tonight really showed me that, hey, we could have two really special backs in the backfield, you know, for years to come. So.
And Yanka, during the game, you were messaging us, and I saw you post some tweets about it as well, about how you really liked the way the team was using McKinnon kind of out of the backfield. Can you get into that a little bit? What was it that you were seeing while you were there watching it live that you were really liking about how the Vikings were using McKinnon this year versus how maybe they'd used him in years past?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously saw that huge swing pass, you know, that went for about, I think it was 33 yards or something like that. A lot of the motions that you're seeing out of the backfield, you know, more comfortable, maybe moving in this zone scheme versus the power scheme. I think the Vikings in the years past probably tried to shoehorn him into that, you know, Adrian Peterson type role. Whereas I think he's so athletic where you can do a lot more with him. And it was just good to see him, you know, again, motioning out of the backfield and being able to use his athleticism a lot more, you know, than just going between the tackles. And not to say that he can't run between the tackles, but, you know, if you can get him out in space, if you can, you know, put him on the field with Dalvin and, you know, you do some, you know, either not reverses, but you do some swing passes like they did. I think you will start to see more dividends get paid from having Jerick McKinnon around and what he can do as far as being a really good complement to Dalvin Cook. So I was just excited to see Jerick McKinnon not get lost in the offense like he has been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned him. So, I mean, you know, leading into this game, a lot of the conversation was around Adrian Peterson and kind of his return. You were at the game. How did that all go? Because I mean, you could hear some boos on the TV broadcast, but what was it like in the stadium? Did he get a cheer? Did he get an ovation? Did the team do anything to acknowledge his presence? Or, you know, what was the vibe like with AP and him stepping out on the field for the first time in an opposing jersey?
Yeah, I mean, you did hear the scattered boos and whatnot, but for the most part, I would say everyone at the stadium was respectful. It felt more of a warm welcome than anything else. I know I saw on Twitter where everybody was kind of, you know, beefing at him, you know, what he did with Sean Payton and all that stuff. But from the stadium standpoint, it felt like the atmosphere felt like, you know, they were glad he was in the stadium and stuff. And, you know, that they, you know, kind of appreciated his time in Minnesota. It was a little bit overshadowed with the whole Randy Moss stuff or whatever. But overall, I think, you know, the team acknowledged and respected Adrian. The fans did as well. And it seemed like he generally loved coming back to Minnesota. So, I know that might be a little bit different than how it was broadcast, online and, or, you know, on TV, but within the stadium, I thought it was pretty good.
And Miles, obviously, you know, the wide receivers, they balled today. What was your, I guess it's tough on the broadcast, obviously, but like, what were your takeaways? What were you able to take a look at while you were watching the game that really stood out to you from what the wide receivers were able to accomplish today?
Adam Thielen from the slot. Whew. I know the way they like to, I know he's got that chemistry with Sam Bradford. Him around from the slot might be, the better play here. He looked great. The route combinations that he got to run, that kind of Diggs got to do last year, definitely something Adam Thielen excels in. So that was really great to see. And then getting to see a guy like Stephon Diggs play on the outside and get some of those deep shots, that was great. Stephon Diggs, I don't know how he makes some of the catches and some of the plays he does.
What about that sideline catch,
though? Oh, my gosh. And he got 3 feet down. He didn't just get 2 feet down. He got three. And P.I. It was great. I remember the replay. I was like, I don't know how he got 2 feet down. And then what I love about Diggs is he's so savvy. He had, and they didn't call it, and I don't think they should have, which I'm glad they didn't, but he kind of had this subtle push off on the DB with his left hand that he didn't do it to the point where you could really tell he did it without seeing the replay, but it was just enough to get a little bit of that separation to go up and get the ball. Oh man, Diggs is out of his mind. Diggs is so good. And I can't wait for it to continue this season.
Yeah, JR, what about you, man? What are your thoughts on what you saw from the offensive skill players today and how they were used and the type of route combinations? Again, I know it's tough. We haven't seen the All-22 yet, but it seemed anyway that we were taking, more shots down the field. We had more plays with guys, running further down the field. Like last year when Diggs was in the slot, we jokingly were saying that Shermer was turning him into a Jarvis Landry type, but with Thielen in the slot, it looked like we were running a lot more routes with him downfield. Diggs was downfield more often. I guess what were you able to kind of take away from what Pat Shermer did in the type of game that he called or put together today in terms of game plan?
Yeah, I thought what Shermer was trying to do was he was just trying to get his athletes out in space, especially matched up against those young corners. Marshawn Lattimore was definitely a guy that they wanted to target and a guy that they went after very often. You seen Diggs matched up on one of their other young corners. I can't remember his name right now. But they were really going after him. And the Saints surprisingly played a lot of, cover one. So they were leaving their guys in one-on-one situations a lot, which really surprised me because, considering their secondary is so young, I never thought they would leave some of those guys on an island. And that's what you saw in the Diggs catch. It was just a great one-on-one situation. The throw wasn't very great, but the adjustment was phenomenal. And I have no idea how he caught that. But the one thing that I really liked that Shermer showed tonight was the tempo of the offense. When they had an explosive play, he got right back on the line and ran another great play. And you saw that on Sam Bradford's first touchdown. The tempo of the offense is really what helped them score on that. And it created confusion. It was a great bootleg play action that they ran. The corner just never saw Diggs leaking out the backside to the back pylon. So tempo, it creates confusion for the defense because they're not able to get calls in when the offense speeds up. And that's what you saw from Bradford on that first touchdown pass. So I was very happy from what I saw from Pat Shermer tonight.
And Pat Shermer, he really impressed me with the game plan he put together. Obviously the beginning when they were kind of feeling him out. Yeah, nothing really too impressive going on with the early round of scripted plays. But once they got a feel for, who the weak spots were on the New Orleans defense, you could really see them, as you said, pick up the pace. And I also have forgotten the name of the DB, but even Gruden on the TV broadcast basically said he was the mark because just whoever they put on him was getting the ball pretty much every time, which I think that was where Treadwell got his one reception too. Miles, do you have anything to say about that? Because I know a bunch of us tweeted after Treadwell came out, started the sophomore surge. He's almost halfway to last year's yardage totals. How are you feeling? Were you able to see him out there? I know JR had mentioned at one point that, he wanted to see Treadwell get some more run. Were you able to pick up anything from any of the replays in terms of, were his releases looking better? Was he getting open? What are your thoughts on your man Treadwell's performance today?
Yeah, definitely. I know I think it was Andrew Kramer on Twitter pointed out I think the first quarter or early in the second quarter. I can't remember exactly. It was like a 3rd and 14 and Treadwell ran a corner route and he was open and Bradford checked it down and didn't even look his way. that was just one of the examples I saw where he was open and could have gotten an opportunity on a third down to make a play. His releases looked a lot better. I would like to go back and watch the All-22 and kind of see a little bit more. Bradford wasn't really looking his way at all. I think Bradford's his key guys are, you know, Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, and then the running back check down. So I think it could have just been the play calling in terms of where his where the play call design was and who the first and second reads were and stuff like that. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. And I just think continuing to build rapport with Treadwell and Bradford's going to be big because, you know, we're at some point, you know, down the stretch here, we're going to need Treadwell to contribute a little bit. And I think Sam's going to have to understand that at some point, you know, especially if a guy gets banged up or hurt and or anything like that before Floyd gets back from his suspension. I think, you know, there might be something there where they need him. So would like to see him get a little more involved next week.
So with this game in the books, and I mean, Treadwell, obviously need to see the All-22 to see kind of how open he was, and would also need to go back and see kind of what usage he had. Obviously, with the Vikings getting up big, there wasn't really a need to go three wide and throw the ball around a lot as the game moved along. But, you know, obviously one reception, 7 yards, you know, that game is in the books. What do you think we need to see from Treadwell over the next, you know, three games to really solidify himself in that number three spot before Floyd comes back off his suspension?
I really think they just need just opportunity, really. Just give him some opportunities, throw him some. He had one target today. It's not like, you know, I don't think some of it's on him. He can't throw himself the ball. So just give him some chances, you know, potentially in the red zone on third downs. You know, just give him an opportunity and kind of see if he wants to take some of that. And, you know, if he wants to take it, I know, again, it's still building that rapport with Bradford is the big thing, but just give him an opportunity. And I think, you know, that'll really determine that.
And, you know, you mentioned targets and, you know, normally I'd use this as an opportunity to take a shot, but I won't. I'm using it for an opportunity to celebrate things today because Prince's man, Jarius, was out there and he actually got himself a couple of targets today. Prince, what are your thoughts on, you know, Jarius being integrated into the offense, them trying to hit him downfield. Remember him coming across on a crosser that they targeted him on as well. I guess, what are your thoughts after this kind of tumultuous offseason? Jarius, maybe people are saying he's not going to make the team. Jarius is saying that if you don't think he's going to make the team, you don't know football. And at least for a little while there, it looked like he was going to be a part of the game plan. And then we realized that Diggs and Thielen were just mismatch nightmares and basically threw them the ball every time. But what are your thoughts on Jarius's usage, Prince?
I mean, Jarius was getting open on numerous occasions. I mean, it was no surprise to me. But this was definitely one of those cases where Diggs and Thielen had the hot hand, you know, and I think that speaks to not just Jarius, but Treadwell as well. They both were doing a pretty good job getting open. Not all the time, but I think there was enough of a window for Bradford to find them. Now, I think it's going to be more important when, you know, we start to face teams with tougher secondaries where guys like Jarius and Treadwell are going to become more integral to our success. You know, they will try to take away Diggs. So if Jarius and Treadwell can, you know, repeat what some of the things that I saw tonight, you know, clean releases off the line, as well as, you know, there's some nice, really nice mesh concepts that I saw going on rub routes. That's what helped to get Diggs and Thielen so well in the space. I think see maybe more targets for Jarius and Treadwell because of the fact that, you know, Diggs and Thielen might be blanketed. So, you know, I'm always a Jarius Wright fan, but he did a phenomenal job tonight, even though, you know, the stats might not always show it. So,
and now for we'll say the second most important question of the night. JR, how your mentions looking, my man?
You know, they kind of relaxed right now. You know, the Vikings won, so everything's not a dumpster fire right now. But, you know, Saints fans are surprisingly still in my mentions. They're actually apologizing about earlier for talking junk, so it's good to come out on the good side of things, but I'm happy the Vikings won at the end of the day.
I was more worried about your mentions from the Vikings faithful.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Nobody's came at me about anything, surprisingly. I guess everybody's a big, happy family when the Vikings win.
Yeah, one big, happy family. And we'll go to the number one most important question, topic, comment of this evening. Saxy Prince, my man, how you doing? We touched on it a bit earlier, but you know, we had a conversation earlier in the off season about, you know, usage versus skill with Diggs in the red zone, where he caught 92% of his targets last year, but didn't really score as many touchdowns as others. How many more games do we need to see before we can just officially chalk this one up as a W for me?
Definitely, we're not even one of the worst secondaries in the league. I'll give you a quarter at best. But as far as what I saw, again, I had two views. I had the one that I originally had was up top, where I was seeing Diggs creating a lot of space. Part of that was a cushion that he was given from some of the the corner and the safety, but a lot of it was just things that he was creating with his route running ability. But it's been no secret that I have been a little bit critical about Diggs in the red zone. He hasn't scored very often. He hasn't been targeted very often. And what I saw today was, you know, maybe it should be a case where, you know, Diggs is starting to step up a little bit more in the red zone, finding ways to get open, but also making those contested catches. I mean, corner route that Sam Bradford threw and Diggs was able to get that contested catches. That's not something you've seen very often from Stephon Diggs. He had a lot of contested catches that we saw, which is more so something that he needed to improve on, because there's not a lot of space in that red zone.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you a little bit there. Stephon Diggs was top 20 in contested catch rate last year. And I think we're losing Prince once again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Prince sound like the DJ just slowed his record down and spun him up.
I didn't hear what you said.
Lost him. I said I was gonna have to disagree with you on that one right there, because Diggs was actually top 20 in the league in contested catch rate last year.
But in the red zone, though.
In the red zone, he had 15 targets. So that's what I was saying. It's a matter of usage, not skill. He was targeted in the red zone. He was just targeted short of the end zone last year. This year, in one game, obviously tiny sample size, but he was actually targeted in the end zone, and he made plays because he's our best wide receiver.
Which again, that speaks to him improving his skill set that I was critical of him about.
That's usage. If all of the play calls for him last year had him running routes short of the end zone, and the play calls this year have him actually running and going up to get fades in the end zone, it's not a change in his skill, it's a change in his usage. But Shermer's actually calling plays for him in the end zone, where he was, all of his plays in the red zone last year were short of the goal line.
Arguing as far as Adam Thielen, who was still able to score at a higher touchdown percentage than Stephon Diggs. All I'm saying is, I think it's a good thing. I'm okay with being wrong on this take.
Of course,
If he's going to prove to be more of a threat in the red zone. Just the last couple of years, he hasn't been
used in that manner. Anywho, we'll move this on along. I guess before we wrap this one up, because I know that folks got stuff to do this evening. It's J.R. Miles Prince. We'll go in that order. I guess anything that you wanted to touch on before we go about this game, anything that you have upcoming that we should be aware of. Yeah, J.R., you first.
It's week one, folks. Calm down. I'm going to let y'all enjoy y'all's moment, though. But we remember how the season started out last year.
Whoa. None of that. We're going 19-0.
I wish. But no, we need that type of game going into Pittsburgh, and I hope they can keep it up, because it's going to be tough to beat the Steelers.
Yeah, man. Miles, what are your thoughts, dude?
Yeah, I think besides how great Sam ended up playing tonight, sounds like he was, in terms of like PFF grades, it was like just below what Alex Smith did against the Patriots. But I thought Riley Reiff, I know JR made note of this before, but I think finally having, you know, hopefully this continues, but finally having potentially solidified left tackle, at least for this season, you know, is going to go a long way for, you know, for how this offense can continue to roll. And Pat Elflein too, you know, kind of finally getting that core nucleus of offensive linemen in there is really important. And I'm really excited to see how they continue to gel and mesh together.
And Prince, bring us home, man. What are your final thoughts, final takeaways?
Eric Kendricks can ball, and he can get all the coins whenever he's ready to get paid. He was around the ball constantly today. As well as, you know, as you mentioned, the offensive line just looks a lot better. Watching Sam actually be able to step up into the pocket, Brand. And I don't know, just overall liking what I saw with the defense. The few plays, I'll have to go back and watch it. The few plays Mac Alexander had to go on the outside, I think he did pretty good. So, and I didn't really hear his name too often in the slot. So, you know, maybe he has improved and we have something there within the slot. But like I said, I had to go back and watch it.
Yeah, and something that I'm going to be interested to go back and watch when the All 22 comes out is, like, what we were doing with the tight ends for most of the game, because it seemed as though targeting the tight end wasn't really a part of the game plan at all until we got to the red zone, which is fine because, I mean, Rudolph isn't really going to do much for you after he catches the ball. So, you know, red zone targets where he can just walk into the end zone are the ideal usage for him. But it was definitely a bit of a change from the, you know, the percentage of the targets that that Rudolph was getting last year versus this year, where it seems like they're actually optimizing, you know, our talent configuration and using who are far and away our best players and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs is really the focal points of the offense versus last year, where it really seemed like we were funneling all those targets towards a Rudolph who'd basically catch the ball and fall down. So that was also nice to see. Pace of the offense was good. Defense played great. Yeah, all around awesome game for the Vikings. 1-0, great feeling. Not gonna let JR knock any shine off this. You know, we're undefeated and will remain as such until at least next week. But yeah, that's all we got for y'all this evening. Go off air and try to convince Miles to give us some manner of breakdown on all of the awesome route running we saw from our wide receivers today, because we know there's gonna be some nice things in there for us. And I know we don't have to say anything to JR about it. We know he's gonna get it in there and start breaking down some of that O-line film, because I'm still amazed. I'm shocked the fact that we actually had an offensive line that could pass protect for a long period of time. I was shocked in the beginning. We could actually pass protect and not open any holes in the running game. It was a very, very strange thing. So,
and real quick, you know what's even better is that this is the first time all five have played together. So hopefully that continues to gel and could, you know, only get better.
Yep. I guess, you know, that's it. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. And we will talk to you guys again soon.